Be seated. Peace and grace and mercy to you from Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. When I hear the story of Ascension, I always imagine that it must have been a beautiful day. I imagine that more than a clear blue sky, there must have been a breeze off the Sea of Galilee, some wildflowers blooming everywhere that they looked. That day was a day of starting over. It was a day of getting back to the way things used to be before the horrible, horrible dark events of the last few weeks. The disciples had lived through, don't forget, some political controversy, Jesus' arrest and the torture, a violent crucifixion, burial, and then the resurrection. And unlike most people who grieve a death, Jesus' disciples must have felt a little bit like they had won the lottery. They lived through it all, and they'd carried their heavy, heavy regrets until, unbelievably, Jesus had risen from the dead. He was back. He appeared to them in their hiding place. He met them on the beach. And according to Luke's report in the book of Acts, he'd given them many convincing proofs, and he talked to them over and over again about the same thing, which was what? The kingdom of God. The coming kingdom of God. And now, finally, Jesus walked with them again, up and down the rolling hills of Galilee, we read in our story, with the breeze blowing and the sun shining, just enough for everyone to begin to believe that it was all behind them. Even with the trauma they had just lived through, maybe they were thinking, possibly, hopefully, things will get back to normal and life will go on. And that day on Galilee's hillside was starting out just like that. They were walking behind Jesus, and I suppose they were smiling. I can see it. And they looked at each other, and they knew in their hearts that finally things were returning to what they had known before, that they had somehow cheated death, and they could now move on to whatever was the next adventure with their dynamic leader. They listened to him preach that day, but they really didn't understand what he was saying, which was nothing new. They probably just nodded and thanked their lucky stars that things were back on track. And just like they remembered, there was a time when Jesus would sort of stop preaching. They remember this, and they could start asking questions, you know, like a little bit like a press conference. And when that time came, they took the opportunity because they had some questions. And what did they ask? What did the reading say? When would this kingdom come be? When is it coming? When? They wanted to know. Come on, Jesus, you've shown the Roman rulers who's the boss. When will you become the guy in charge and make all of us members of your cabinet? When? When my kids were little, we had a list on our family bulletin board tacked up every fall with the listing of what seemed every year like an endless string of school days that we'd have to survive. The list included all things that animated our life as a family with young children: sports practices and science projects, dentist appointments, music lessons, field trips. And then it became a ritual in our house that first thing upon returning home from school, one of the kids would take a pen and cross out the day of school that just had been finished. And little by little, one by one, the days would disappear. Some of you can relate, I bet, right? Just think of it. It's May 8th. Most of your carpools and schedules for nights of homework are almost done. It's almost over, right? I love knowing how much more I have to endure. So I really can't blame the disciples for asking what seems like the most reasonable question, when? Come on, when? And then, just as he started, Jesus saying something about them being his witnesses to the whole world, what happened? He started floating, rising up into the sky, away from them all over again. And they said, what? Can you imagine their confusion and horror? He had come back from death and they were ready to follow him, and away he goes again. Unbelievably, there they were on the hillsides of Galilee, hands cupping their eyes, much like the kids and the choir members looking at the balloons, staring up into the brilliant sky, trying to desperately understand what Jesus was up to now. And he's gone. What would you have felt like if you'd been there? I know what I would have felt like. I would have been angry. There's another way of saying it, but I would have been angry. Where did he think he was going? Just as the tide had started to turn and the political hopes were rising, was all that grief and pain that they had experienced for nothing? How could he leave them after all they'd been through? This strange turn of events, to incredible story, is known as the Day of Ascension, or we call it the Ascension of our Lord. 2,000 years of tradition has led the church to turn this event into a feast day. Not sure what's there to celebrate, because all I can think of is how those disciples must have felt. Abandoned, for sure. Betrayed, I would think so. Scared. But Luke's the writer of the book of Acts that we read from. He uses the memory of this event to begin his story of the first church. It's a letter to one of his friends, Theophilus. Why do you think Luke would do that? Why would he start the whole story about the church with this crazy event of Jesus leaving them? What could this turn of events possibly mean, other than utter devastation in the lives of the people who had already been traumatized beyond reason? I have an idea. Perhaps Luke starts with this story because the image of the disciples crowded together on this mountaintop is a pretty good representation of the ongoing questions among us, Christ followers. A question that must be answered over and over again with every generation that dares to call themselves Christ followers. Is this the time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this it? When the day of ascension had come, Jesus was answering them, but he was talking about this concept that he called the kingdom of God. And when they asked him to tell when would it come, what did he say? It's here. It's here. Right here and right now, and after today, each one of you will have the power to be my witnesses. So my friends, apparently God's kingdom is not something far off or otherworldly. It starts now. How could the disciples have missed what Jesus had been telling them the entire time? Somehow they did. And I think often we do too. There are some Christians that think that our obligation is to stand staring up at the sky and talk about heaven like it's some sort of all-inclusive resort. More than we can imagine, a better place. Isn't that what we say about people when they die? They've gone to somewhere better. I want to tell something for our new members. You have just joined the church where we do not stare to the sky. Because here at St. Philip's, we take Jesus' invitation to change the world seriously. And we believe that this new world, the kingdom of God, starts right here and right now. It's a strange way for Luke to start the story of the first church, but when you think of it, everything about Jesus takes us by surprise, right? What was the core of his message? It was one of turning everything that we expect on its head. Like to welcome strangers, to feed the hungry, to love our enemies. And he even said that when this kingdom started to come to be, the signs that we would see are that the weeping would dance with joy, and the oppressed would experience freedom, and those who lived crippled with an absence of hope would begin to anticipate the future. It shouldn't surprise us that what we might have expected and what the first disciples expected was nothing, was not at all what God had in mind. Because you see, there are no grandstand views from the guidelines in this kingdom of God. There's no waiting for better days. No standing there gaping at the empty sky, wondering what miraculous fix Jesus will pull out of his hat this time. Because the kingdom of God starts now. So maybe you wonder, like I do, why did Jesus have to leave? I really don't know. But maybe it was with an empty sky, with Jesus handing off the baton to us, that the story of God's kingdom on earth really began. So the question for us is really the same question as it was for the disciples on that day. Will we stand here, gazing at the empty sky, wondering who will come to bail us out? Or will we turn from the wisp of smoke that we might see, remember the strong message of Jesus, and then use our own lives, our collective life as a congregation, to make it happen? I tell you, it's going to take a whole lot of courage to build a church in the way of Jesus. But this is our mandate for all of us, the new members and the old members, every one of us. Not to stand there, slack-jawed, staring at the clear blue sky, but to summon all the courage that we can and get to work. God's coming kingdom will not wait. It starts now. May it be so for us. Amen.